Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to see you. If you're wondering why I'm here today, it's because I hope tomorrow to head off to Annalong to speak in Kilkeel on Friday evening, and I want to get the recordings of these assembly meetings off to the people who like to listen to you say good morning. Would you believe that? There's people who, I don't know whether they think that much of what I have to say, but they thoroughly enjoy just you saying good morning, and it sets them up for the day. So, because I have that appointment in Kilkeel, I want to get our assembly meetings over this week. A little early, but in the will of the Lord, we'll be back to our usual routine next week. That's Tuesday and Friday. All right, let's look at Luke's Gospel, the chapter 18. The parable we're considering is found in the verses 10 to 14, and it's the parable of the Pharisee and the publican in the temple praying. We're told in the verse 9 why the Lord Jesus is teaching this parable. See what it says? And he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The Lord Jesus believed in pointed preaching. And by that I mean, he didn't just speak in general terms, but he spoke in such a fashion as to direct his word at individuals. So that when you were in the crowd listening to the Lord, there were times when you felt, he's speaking to me. It's me he's talking to. That's proper preaching. That's proper preaching. Preachers should not so address a congregation using words that are so general that everybody sitting there is thinking, oh, he's talking about them. He's not talking about me. No, we want to so preach as to make everybody feel that the word of God is for them. See what it says? He spake this parable unto certain. This parable was directed like an archer firing an arrow. He took careful aim first. And the Savior's taking aim here at those who trusted in themselves. That's a lot of people. Are you saved this morning? Do you know why you're not saved? Because you trust in yourself. You trust in yourself. When little boys and little girls are out with mom and your daddy, they're having a day out and, well, maybe they're going somewhere where the scenery is really beautiful, but it's dangerous. Maybe there's an edge of a cliff. And our instinct is to go to the edge and look out over. And when mommy or daddy sees son or daughter approaching the edge, what do? They reach out to grab their hand. But what does little Sonny Jim and little daughter do? No, I don't need your hand. I'm able to look after myself. I trust myself. And so place themselves in danger. And if you're not saved today, you have waved away the hand of the Lord Jesus. And you've said, no, I trust myself. I don't need your help. Oh, boys and girls, how wrong that is. How foolish that is. And what an awful penalty there is to be paid by those who refuse the Lord Jesus and don't hold on to his hand, trusting in themselves. No, we can't save ourselves, boys and girls. We need the Lord, and the Lord is here speaking a parable to those who were foolish enough to trust in themselves. Now, as I started to say yesterday, we're looking at the two main characters in this parable, the Pharisee and the publican. And we're looking at them in order to learn just who they are. I said to you yesterday that preachers very often assume that everybody is acquainted with the doctrines, the history, the teachings of the Bible to the same level as they are, so that they begin to speak about things and don't realize that many of the people to whom they're speaking do not know the same amount about these matters that the preacher does. And consequently, they're lost. What's he talking about? I can't follow him. I can't make any sense of what he's saying. And preachers do well to remember that it's possible, as I said yesterday, it's possible that in the meeting there's one person, maybe more than that, but it's possible there's one person has never, never really read anything in the Bible. Now that's something I was taught, and it's something that I was well acquainted with, because the very first time I was in a gospel preaching church, and that was Dr. Paisley's old church down at the bottom of the Ravenhill Road, very first time I was in it, when he, and he did it many times during his sermon, when he said, "Let's turn to," I hadn't a clue where that was, and I used to squint at the person next to me to see where they were going in their Bible, and sort of turn over to the same sort of general area and hope that I found the book he was referring to. Now, if the person beside me was as ignorant of the Bible as I was, then there were two of us lost and just leafing through the Bible. So I knew from my own experience that it's very possible that in a meeting there are those who don't really know anything about the Bible, and you must take the time as a preacher to speak to them and help them and enlarge upon any subject you're taking up so that you carry them along with you. You carry them along with you. It's a little bit like one of those tour buses. I'm sure you've never been on one, but were you on a tour bus? There's somebody up front with a microphone, and they're saying, "On our left-hand side we see loch such and such. And this loch is so many feet deep, and it covers an area of so many acres, and there's fish of this sort and that sort and the other sort in it. And over here on the right-hand side we see a village." So that as you're driving down a road you probably never were on before, sitting in that bus, you're being informed of what it is that's around you. Well, that's what it should be when the preacher's preaching the Word of God. He's telling you where you're going and what it is you're looking at and seeing as you examine God's Word. So for that reason, we're looking at these two characters. What is a Pharisee? I'm sure many of you have heard the term. It's often been used in the pulpit. But do you know what a Pharisee is? If you met one, would you know one? Because believe me, there are still Pharisees about. Did you know that? Yes, there's still Pharisees about. So, we started off by considering their name. How did they get this name, Pharisee? Well, learned men would tell us that it's not just very clear where they got this name. And there's a number of suggestions made as to how they got this title. The one that I particularly like is that the name comes from a Hebrew word, Hebrew name of a man, actually, way back in the book of Genesis, called Phares. And the name Phares, it was given to him at his birth, means breach or separation. And it's likely, or possible anyway, that the group of men we now know as Pharisees had this title given to them because they separated themselves. They put a breach between themselves and everybody else because they believed they were better than everybody else. So they didn't mix with other people. And I'm inclined to think that's how they got this term. We looked at that a little yesterday. Now we come to another mark of these individuals. We're going to consider their appearance. Because you would always know to look at a Pharisee. You'd always know to look at him. Because he deliberately dressed in such a fashion as to set himself apart from other men. We sang a hymn this morning, "Wash Me, O Lamb of God." And although I picked a hymn for the principal to lead you in the singing all, I was pleased as we were singing it to notice some phrases in it. The first verse, the last line or so, "Let me thine image gain, in love and mercy reign, o'er all within." Within. The hymn writer is speaking of what we are within. And it goes on then, the next verse, the verse 2, "Wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin, I long to be like thee, all pure within." But you see, the Pharisee didn't think like that. All he thought of, how do I appear on the outside? How do I appear on the outside? He never gave any thought, really, to how he appeared on the inside, what he was like inwardly. It's all outward appearance. And there are so many that do that. Many years ago, there was a man attended here. He's now dead, long time dead. And he used to sit up in the front row or the second row of the church. He wasn't saved. Not by a long shot, but he liked to make people believe and think that he was saved. And he used to put on quite a show. And when it came to the offering time, and the plate came round and it came to him, he would hold up a £1 note. And he would put it in the plate like that, holding it well above his head as he put it down into the plate so that everybody saw what he was giving. Now God doesn't like that. He says, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And this poor man very foolishly was keen to create an outward appearance that seemed to be good. Many a time I met him in Irvinstown. And he wouldn't see me coming, for I'm a sort of an eagle-eyed person. And I spotted him coming up the street, smoking, which is not what a Christian does. And then he would spot me, and he would tuck the cigarette into his hand, sometimes even put it into his pocket. And he'd say hello, and I would say hello, and stop him! And begin to talk to him about the weather and all the rest of it, hoping that the cigarette was burning the hand off him. Silly man that he was, thinking only of the outward, never gave any thought to what his heart was like. Well, that's just how the Pharisee was. And the Lord Jesus pointed it out to them. And he pointed it out to them in the bluntest of terms. You know, sometimes preachers get the name of being very blunt in their language, very plain. I never got that name. Nobody would ever say that about me. But the Lord Jesus certainly was very blunt. Listen to what he says. We're reading from Matthew chapter 23. And that's a chapter, I should tell you, in which the Lord Jesus really goes to town on the Pharisees. It's a chapter, I might tell you, that preachers who have been criticized for criticizing wicked people have often turned to. Because they say, you think I'm critical? Let me turn you to what the Lord Jesus had to say about those who opposed him. Listen to what we read then in Matthew chapter 23, and we're looking at the verse 27. Woe! And oh, boys and girls, you need to understand that's a very strong word. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! Do you know what the word hypocrite means? It's taken from a Greek word that refers to an actor on the stage. An actor on the stage. And the actor on the stage is pretending to be someone who he's not. He's playing a role. He has a name that's not his real name. He's dressed up in a fashion that he likely would not dress up in. And he's speaking as if he were someone else. He's playing a part in a play. That's what an actor is. And that's what a hypocrite is. He's just an actor. He's pretending to be someone he's not. And while you and I look at him, we might not know that he's not really the person he appears to be. The Lord knows. And so the Lord says to these Pharisees, and he also includes the scribes here, but we're concentrating on the Pharisees. He says, hypocrites, pretenders, actors, for ye are like unto whited sepulchres. The Jews very often built over the place where someone was buried quite an edifice, quite a structure. And they would whitewash it, make it really bright. And the Lord Jesus is likening these men unto whitewashed graves, which indeed appear beautiful outward, but within are full of dead men's bones. Oh, the inside of a sepulchre was very different from the outside. Men whitewashed and decorated the outside, but inside there was the remains of many corpses. It's full of dead men's bones and of all uncleanness. Even so ye also outwardly appear righteous unto men. But within, you're full of hypocrisy and iniquity. Can you imagine What those old Pharisees were feeling as the Lord sternly looked them right in the face and said that. Oh, that's preaching. That's boldness. That's courage. And preachers should ever look to the example of the Lord Jesus and how it was he dealt with men. You didn't go away after he preached, not knowing what it was he said. You understood what he said. And many, of course, were very angry at what he said. Others, by the mercy of God, were cut to the heart, made to realize their lost condition, and they felt their sin. By God's grace, they repent. This was the appearance then. They looked so wonderful on the outside, but inside they were full of sin. These Pharisees delighted to be seen of men. They were out on a parade every day, as it were. When they went out of the house, they were parading themselves to be admired by others. Listen to the Lord Jesus again in that Matthew chapter 23, this time the verses 5 to 7. But all their works they do to be seen of men. How ought we to live? We ought to live to please God. We ought to so live, to speak, to act toward others, so as to please God. We ought ever to have a consciousness of His eye upon us and endeavouring to please Him. But these characters, they had no thought of God. God was not in all their thoughts. They were eager to please men. They made broad their phylacteries. That's a big word. Any idea what a phylactery is? Well, I'm pretty sure you've never seen one, though you may have seen a picture of one. And with the guidance of the teacher, no doubt you'll be able to look one up in a book and see just what it is. But the phylactery was what these men wore. And what they wear were simple little leather containers on a thong in which was put a verse or two from the Bible, the law of Moses. And it was then enclosed in this little leather pouch, and there were strings to it. And they would tie these round their head so that this pouch would be sitting on the front of their head. And they would wear these and strut around like peacocks, hoping to draw men and women's attention to the fact that they were wearing these so that people would say, oh, how holy he is. Look at the way he wears this verse from the Bible. He must have a great regard for God's word. But that wasn't the truth at all. He had regard only for the admiration of men. That's why he was wearing this quotation from the scripture, that men and women might look at him and imagine that he was a good and holy person. They make broad their phylacteries. They weren't content with a small little leather pouch, but they made a big leather pouch that would be seen very clearly on their brow as they wore them. They enlarged the borders of their garments. Again, they had fringes on their garment, and this was to denote their holiness. But they weren't content with wearing some little fringe. They wore very pronounced and obvious fringes, again, to give the impression to all around of how holy they were. They enlarge the borders of their garments and love the uppermost rooms at feasts and the chief seats in the synagogues. So if there was a feast, and that's referring to the holy feasts that were appointed of God, well, they had to have a seat right up at the front so that people would see them. And likewise in the synagogue, they weren't prepared for the back row. Oh, no, they headed for the front row. They wanted to be seen. And that's what their whole life consisted of, being admired by men. Furthermore, they loved greetings in the markets, and to be called of men, Rabbi, Rabbi, or Master, Master. They wanted people to think of them as a superior person. This was the mind, this was the heart of the Pharisee. They sought to draw attention to themselves and have men admire them. They were pride wearing shoes. From the top of their head to the soles of their feet, they were pride. That's all they were. That was their whole character. They were just full of pride. And the Lord Jesus let them know that and told them that very plainly. They looked to men to admire them. They loved to be thought highly of, and wanted men to consider them superior. Boys and girls, don't be actors. Be yourself. Don't pretend to be something you're not. If you're not a Christian, don't pretend you are. Because the only person who gets fooled by you pretending to be a Christian is yourself. Nobody else is fooled. You're fooled. And the chances are you will live out your days thinking yourselves to be Christians only to be lost forever and never get to heaven. Never get to heaven. No, be yourself. If you're not a Christian, acknowledge it. Whisper that fact in your own heart and then whisper it to God. Say, Lord, I'm not saved. Save me. Will you do that? Ever live to please God, and don't think of other people's opinion of yourself. Let's bow in prayer, please. O God, our Heavenly Father, bless your word to hearts. Lord, may the boys and the girls today learn from thy word. These things are written for our learning. O, I pray that there will be a learning here in this assembly, even this morning, and that, Lord, if there's any not saved, today they will realize how they appear in God's eyes, and may they be most concerned about that. And may they say, with the words of the hymn we sung, wash me, O Lamb of God, wash me from sin. Answer prayer today and bless our school in all its activities, teachers, pupils, parents at home. O God, answer prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.